prideful for us.
He was, now we would call it arrogance. Because he learned a lot of Torah from his Rebbe, he was coming from the house of his Rebbe. So he was, can you imagine, in a state of simchut gedolah, he was coming from the house of his Rebbe. Mizdame, now yeah, we've got the same word Mizdame. The chance to see everything. Mizdame, that's money. Mizdame, the order of Echot, Jehoiah Machur, Ben Yosef. So, comes to him a man, meets a man, as he's going allegedly, face on the other side, there comes a man. Omar lo sholom olecho rabbi. He greets him. He said, sholom olecho rabbi, my teacher, my master. Velo herzilo. So Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon doesn't answer him. Omar lo, he said to him, reko.
Yeah,
man, that's what we're doing. Yeah,
empty-headed
person. Oh,
that's the person who was in the state of Simcha Gadola said to the
Yeah. You are such a ugly person. Shema kol b'nei iruch omechu orin kamosechof. Are all the other people of your village or your town as ugly as you? Omar lo, this man answered Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, Eini yodea. I don't know. El olech ve'emor le'uman she'osani, but go and tell the artisan that made me, kama mechur eikli ze she'osiso. How ugly is this clean, this receptacle that you made? Kiven she yoda be'atzmo shechoto. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon realized that he had sinned. Yorad min ha'chavot. Immediately stepped down from the donkey. V'nishtateach lefono. And he stretched himself out on the ground before him, prostrated himself before him, for Omar lo, and he said to him, Ne'enesi lecho. Ne'enesi lecho is. No, Ne'enesi lecho is. I'm convinced by you, but it's stronger, Ne'enesi lecho. I'm overcome by what you say. Really, that's what it means. Ne'enesi lecho. I'm overcome by what you say. But holy, forgive me. Omar lo, Amy Moche, I'm not going to forgive you until you've first gone to the artisan that made me and tell me what an ugly receptacle is made. Hoyo metail acharo. So Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon walked after him, until he came to his city. Yotub Ne'iro Likroso. All the people of the city went out to meet him, before you only know Sholom Olecho Rabbi.
They greeted the man he didn't insult, or they greeted
him? They greeted Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi. My teacher, Moldy, my master. Omar Lohem, he said to them, said the man who was insulted to them, Leviatim Kodin Rebbe. Whom are you addressing, my teacher, my master? Omar Lohem, the one that is walking behind you. Omar Lohem, he said to them, if this is a Rabbi, then may there not be many like him in Israel. Omar Levi, Neymar, they said to him, why? Omar Levi, Tachvatach Osoli. This is, he told him, this is what they did to him. Omar Levi, they said to him, Achar Pikei. Nevertheless, Mecholo, forgive him, She'odem Godel Betoro. Said to him, he's a great man, forgive him. Omar Lohem, Bishvilchem Areni Mochelo, because of you I will forgive him. Ubilvachelo Yehi, Rogi Lazos Kei, and on the condition that he will never do so again. מיד immediately נכנס רבי לאוזב רבי שמעון, רבי לאוזב רבי שמעון came into the midrash, מבית המדרש ודורש, and he was דורש. לעולם יהי אודום רך כקונה ועל יהי קושי כארץ. A man should always be as tender as a reed and not as firm as a cedar. Ulefircho, and therefore, Zocho kono vidolemen kunas vichtava sefer teure tefilin mezuras. The reed was the one who was deserving of being taken and made a pen of to write the Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs. So, how can you explain that a person of the greatness of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar did something for the man the way he dressed it? How can you explain that? And furthermore, if it was the type of person that didn't understand the wrong, but immediately he realized the wrong that he did. He went onto his knees and down to his face to ask for forgiveness. And when he didn't forgive him, he followed him into the city. And he was prepared that all the people in the city see that he's following this man. And he knows that this man can tell them what he did. And he's prepared to do all that just to get this man's forgiveness. So you can see what kind of a person Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was. And eventually he gets his forgiveness, and then he says, person mustn't be as hard as a, as unbending as a leaf. Yeah, he must be tender as a collier. What is it? You know, try and put yourself into the position of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, at that particular moment. He had come from the house of the Rebbe, where he had learned much Torah. And the Somaya Simcha Gedola. And he was in a case of great, great joy. For Hoiso Dato Gaso Olof. He doesn't mean to say that he was arrogant, he doesn't mean to say he was coarse. But with respect to other people, yeah, I'm trying to give to you a kare de la dance that it should become nearer to the same. Yeah, we are a group of people studying. We are learning the Bible. We are learning Torah. There is an affinity between us. Somewhere else in Los Angeles is another group of men. The very worst types. They are interested in doing the worst possible things. Immoral. Drugs. Drinking. The worst possible things. They're aberrations. Worst possible things. What is our relationship? What is that? Do you envy them? Do you envy them? That's do you feel that you would rather spend the night there? Worrying about a Rambam and about a toast person. We want it all for. How relevant is this? What is the logistics, as somebody once said to me? What do you need all this for? Tell us the deed and finish. If that's the feeling you've got towards these people, you wish that you were there. What would happen if you would actually see those people just go in there, open the door, just have a look at them. What would you say?
Break out,
That is the distance between us. When Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was in the cave, how many years he came out with his son? He came out with his son. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that they saw people crowding. Now, all these years, they were in the cave and they were hidden because they feared for their lives, and they were learning, studying Torah. All those years, they reached the greatest heights. They came out and they saw people plowing. I said, how can a person spend time plowing a field and miss learning Torah during that time? To them, they couldn't understand that after all these years, they couldn't understand that in the same way as Don and Charles and Mark and David and I can't understand. We've just gone into a room and we've opened the door. We see these people there. We can't understand it. All right, so
this is a big difference.
Just one moment. All right. We know that people, all right, can't learn Gemara. And these are Jews we are speaking about who do all these things, you see. We know they can't learn Gemara. But let them do something else. Let them do something useful. That is our attitude to it. All right, they can't learn Gemara. But let them do something. All right, they're not interested in Torah. They're not interested in Judaism even. They're not even interested in religion. All right. But let them be proper human beings. That's our attitude to them. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, when he came out from the grave, that distance between Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and those people who were working in the field was the same. The Gemara tells us that wherever they looked, they just destroyed everything just by their looking. It had such a power. So Hashem said to them, oh no, this can't go on. We've got to have these people to plow. Not everybody's on that vibrator. This has got to stop immediately. You've got to understand this. Being away for 20 years and this moment, and you come down and say, what's all this about? For you it's all right to say so. Understand the people that are on this level. That's what he said. Our Shimon ben Oza comes along. He is Someya Simchot Gedolah. He's in these heights. And he comes along and he finds a person great cause. Absolutely nothing at all. If he wouldn't have said great cause, there would have been something wrong. This is his first reaction. How is it possible? And he says to him, in your town, are there all the people like that? I mean, just by being with people you learn something. You people, they've learned a little bit. You can't help it. You must pick up something. Are they all like you? Of course he realizes that. And the Unterste Schule is the last lesson is person should be flexible as a reed. Pliant is the word. Flexible is rock. Pliant as a reed and not hard as a cedar. A cedar, when the wind comes, just breaks. A reed bends and then gets straight again. Just want you to know something. There is a midor of Tachius. Tachius is, and Diana Bramsky had this midor, a very great degree. I told you once about this Rabbi Abramsky. When Rabbi Abramsky offered, first come to London, they asked him to give a shiur in the Bishop of London. He was going to do the East End. So they came and they fetched him. He goes out of the car, he goes out, and he comes to a house, and the house has got steps up, and then down here, you go down to the basement. Same as the brown houses in Borough Park, Williamsburg. Down to the basement. So, Rabbi Abramsky goes up, he wants to go up the steps, they said, no, it's down here. And they look down. A shear in a cellar? In a cellar, a shear? Take me home at once. Try to take me home at once. They took him home. Took him home. Well, that week in the Jewish Chronicle, when the Jewish Chronicle came out on Friday, Rabbi insults students. People want to learn, Rabbi refuses to teach them. Well, nothing wrong. Didn't worry him at all. Why did he do it? Years later, I was invited for God. And he gave an hour shear on the Gemara in the Shabbos afternoon, and I went to the shear. It was down in the cellar. And I see to you, Diane Abramsky, down in the cellar. You're in the cellar, Meretz Yisrael. We haven't got such homes. We need to please this in the cellar. Of course. But for themselves, that is the type of homes they have. And for a shear down in the cellar, it's their own. Under those, that's Dukkipus. Unbending there, you see. Unbending. That is Dukkipus. Rabbi Abramsky came to London, they wanted him to be on the Bezdin. He said, on one condition, no four quarters. There's no hind quarters. But we've got forgers, the best forgers, no hind quarters. They didn't come to him and say immediately, Rabbi Abramsky, as you say. They said, but you'd be unreasonable. What's going to happen? People are going to eat trace. I will not go on to the Bezdin until no hind quarters. Do you know what it means? People will start eating trade. Meat will be expensive. You only have to eat four quarters meat, and you'll have to sell them. That your hind quarters, the price of meat will go up, and you're the cause of it. We want you to come onto the building. Didn't bend. He knew what was happening with those hind quarters. He knew what was happening. He said, on no account.
What's happening?
Okay. Have you ever seen forging done?
I'm afraid I'm unfamiliar with the term.
Removing the veins and all that. You first of all, you've got to be a big specialist. Secondly, the time it takes to do it makes it most expensive. And thirdly, you've got to be a big Yoreh Shamayim, because as you take it out, it snaps, and you've got to find the vein and cut there and take it out again, and everything's got to be a big Yoreh Shamayim. People won't do a thing like that. He knew. That is Dukkipus. Until they said, right, it's incorrigible. Tyrant. Authoritarian. That is Dukkipus. He knows what he's got to do. That is Dukkipus. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that was Dukkipus. Now there is a thing in Dukkipus. Very difficult to explain. You know, I am walking and there is a rock in the way. a big serve in the way, in the middle of the road. What must I do on the stairway? If it's so big that it blocks up the whole way, I'm going to stop there. I can't do anything. It stops me. Now that is Tarkifus, which isn't good. Tarkifus with that is Tarkifus, which isn't good. Tarkifus has always got to be that it helps the other person. Rabbi Abramsky knew that when he refused to go down into the cellar, he knew what he was doing for terror. From that moment, you see, this was before the war, you don't know, today is a different world. Today there's some respect for it. In those days, the person who learned terror, who was he? Had to put it onto a in Telge, when the old Telge Rock started there, that must have been about 1910 or 11. When he started there, two things he did immediately. No student in the yeshiva was allowed to go and have a meal in anybody's house. No balabos in Telge was allowed to give money to the yeshiva. You want to give money to Torah to another yeshiva outside of the town, but not to your own yeshiva. Why? People mustn't say they support the yeshiva. The yeshiva supports the town, they don't support the yeshiva. Because of the Kovod HaTorah. The Kovod HaTorah was so low. They look after the yeshiva. Oh no, the yeshiva looks after you. But Rebbe Chonah Wasserman used to come. They used to go mad to get money from the townspeople for Rebbe Chonah. But not for their own yeshiva. That not. Now, it's Tarkifus. The old Telge Rov had Tarkifus. But it was for their good. They didn't think it was for their good. Direct. They didn't know it was for their good. They didn't think it was for their good. But that is Tarkifus. Rabbi Shimon ben El also shows Tarkifus. Then he comes to the realization that his Tarkifus is only for his own good. This man is also entitled to something. He says, to be the speeder, that is a fact. I've got to be able to be the reed, that I'm pliant, I can bend, I hold my ground for myself, I hold my ground. And when that is over, I'll come back as tomorrow to what I was before. That is the whole point. But the thing is that when one is in a very high state of spirituality, when one is in a very high state of that, then one uses words and terms which are in accordance with all that. When the Rivet says about the Rambam Hevel, this is vanity. He's got it so clear in his mind. It is so clear in his mind that with the Rambam he can afford to be attacking because he knows with whom he's dealing there. He's so clear in his mind that the idea of Matzah is one of Chayrus. That's the whole idea of Matzah. And that if you dip it in charoset, then it conflicts immediately with the whole principle of matzah. He says, under no circumstances, we don't do it. The Rambam is absolutely clear that matzah, the deal of matzah, is the avdus there. That is what it is. So it's only people, like the people in the Gemara, it's only when you're dealing with people like the Rivet that you can have this sort of thing going on. Otherwise you can't. Now, I've seen cases where Gedolei Yisroel had different shittas, but when they came together, they were the greatest of friends. And each one knew that he had a completely different sheet up. my uncle and the old Delta Rob had two completely different shitos, to such an extent that the old Telja Rov made a special journey to my uncle, who was a much younger man than he. And he said, "You don't send any of your students to me. You send them all to Slobodka." He said, "Not only does it do me harm in that I don't get the students, and my uncle's students were the best students. He said, not only does it do me harm in that I don't get your students, it does me harm that they say Rabbi Elia doesn't send his students to Telj. It shows there's something wrong with Telj. What is wrong with it?" Came to mind. He said, "What is wrong with it?" Now, Telj Rov was a Takif. What is wrong with it? So my uncle said, "This is wrong." He said, "I undertake from tomorrow when I come back to Telj that that will be rectified." My uncle said, "As soon as that is rectified, you get me." He said, "And suddenly sent me." I said, "Rectified." But they were the greatest of friends when they met. When they met, they hugged each other. They were the greatest of friends. But that was a shita that they were completely divided on. And when my uncle said that to him, accepted it. Immediately knew the change. They were very strong in that. That is the Rambam and the Raiva. But you can be quite sure when they met, they hugged each other. That you can be quite sure. With all their differences. When the Rambam criticizes the Rambam sometimes, and then all of a sudden, Haneshir HaGodol, the great ego, who can gainsay it? Says the Rambam. Haneshir HaGodol is a great ego. Does it help you to understand it a little bit?
Yes, it does. The only lingering problem is that they were not contemporaries.
They were more or less.
What were they?
Yes. The Rambam was very little later. They were more or less. The Rambam, the younger contemporaries of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is, just a mere fact that he goes and he makes it on the Rambam. And don't forget, there was a lot of controversy when the Rambam made this. There was a lot of controversy. They regarded this as a big come down, as I've explained to you.
The Rambam ever lived in Eretz Yisrael?
Yes, for a very short time. You know, what this does to me when I see this. And when I get a luach from a Torah institution, and at the back it's got the kaddish like this, it's got the kaddish like this, but without the Hebrew at all. You know what it does to me? That is what it did to them when he made the rock. What are you using it to? People are going to stop learning Gemara. Because they're going to make it like this. What are you using it to? You know, once I wasn't appreciating this funeral, but it was very easy. It happened at the funeral I was appreciating. They gave a mourner to say Kaddish like this. And he said, "Yivarobi olamor abor shemayim kadashmi yizkadal bechay." That's what it goes to. And this person was the son of a president of the Board of Education, and it was his father's funeral. So you can imagine what that feels like. That is the way these people think about it. Right. So, you see, Now, you can dissect it a little bit further, but it isn't necessary for us to go further than this yet.
We learned that there are no schools.
Unless he uses Chazer, Akrachis. Unless, and that's why the Rambam passes. If he uses Chazer, then he must put it into Chazer, and not because of Kapho, but because that is people, and that's not people.
Okay,
and then he makes both the Piyadoma and he makes Achilas Moro.
Right. But if he uses Shi'ar Yerachot according to the Rambam and the Beis Yosef and Rav Shmaya, then he uses Haroset not because it's a real tibul, but because it's there. That's okay.
Haroset is there, and we want to make use of it. The Haroset is there, we want to make use of it. This is one of the ways we can make use of it.
Why do we use salt water?
That's Rabbeinu Tam Shita. That's the Rabbeinu Tam Shita, because the Rabbeinu Tam says that the Haroses is there only for the Chazeres. And the Chazeres that is done and after Achilas Matzah, then it's the proper place for it. And then when we use it, then that is evil, that is proper evil. Now I just want to show you, if you look at the Kofdalid on the day, the run is on the when he hasn't got any other Yerokas, that's all right. That is the way we go. The Isleish or Yerofi Metabel Kilekito Vigamora. Now look what he says. Upirish Rashi Zal, the my Metabel, what is Metabel? Metabel. It's Mitasik with it occupies, it's not a people. That's the way he then says it. Rashi doesn't say so. And the Rashbam doesn't say so. The Rashi doesn't say so. But that is the way he understands the Rashi. It's not a problem. Then it works out the same way as we worked out. It works out beautifully. Everything works out beautifully. You want to go?
All right.
You covered.
Is salt on the table on Shabbos? Is it a mitzvah to have salt on the table?
To admit to their fault.
We are malafet with salt.
Why is that malafet?
Mar they putting butter on your bread.
We don't do it in the meal.
You don't put the butter on your bread.
Right.
What do you put in? What's that?
Like bread, precious baked bread.
You don't put any butter on it, or margarine on it, or jam.
No, margarine, never.
Nothing.
Right.
The reason we put salt in it because it reminds us of the carbonos and the priests with melach. It's everlasting salt. You know why we salt the sea water?
Keep it from rotting.
But it's not a goof mitzvah, and if I haven't got any salt on the table, and on Rosh Hashanah I don't do salt, it's nothing. To be malafe is for something, there's something to go with it, you see. It enhances it.
Rabbi, well then you said earlier that you dip into the salt on Shabbos. So does it really matter whether you dip or whether you sprinkle?
Never put the bread into the salt. He just brought it as far as the salt, but he never made it touch the salt. I didn't notice that. I said, did you actually see that? He said, that's what I asked you. He said, I'm not sure, but it appeared to me like that. He said, it appeared to me that he only brought it, he never put it into it. Sorry, I don't remember that.
So then it seems strange. So then it's a very mild memory.
Right, you do it. You do it. I brought it. I mean, I'm not discussing that with you. I brought it as an example. You say that the salt is a mitzvah. The bread is a mitzvah. The mitzvah is a mitzvah. The challah tzavos is a mitzvah. The salt isn't a mitzvah. And if you've got no salt, so you won't eat bread. Of course you will.
But you can call out the salt, you can speak.
No, you can't speak.
You can
say, Melech is already a language.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it. There's no salt, there's no salt. Afterwards, the salt is what I'm going to put it into the salt. Yes?
We're always very careful when you make a broth off of food. And we have that food could be ready to eat. Right? We make the broth off.
Yes.
An apple already created. Yes. So why would we put the salt on the bread first? And then this way, when you make the broth, you can eat it immediately rather than, you know, going through a separate action. Is it?
Yes, because it's not the goof of mitzvah. It's not the goof of mitzvah. It's a very secondary sort of thing. It's an emblem. It's a secondary sort of thing.
That's not his point. So why was that interruption?
It's not really an interruption. It's all to a... look here. We had a breeze today. I made a brocha over the wine. Then I made another brocha, Kereis Abris. Then I made the naming of the child. And then I drank the wine. I did this for you because you worried you so much. And then there's another thing, but this won't take me long in the next week of tomorrow. That I was prepared to do with you today. There's also a thing where we've got a case. Rabba Abba Mihadir Asif Kavar Elza, who is in Obi Mifume de Rabuna. Rabba wanted beetroots and rice. Why? Because Rabuna said it. Is that the only reason? And we don't do it. And it would have seemed to me that these two things would be the furthest from the real thing. So we've got to understand that also, haven't we?
We're going to meet again, by the way. Next week is the wedding.
Yeah,
the wedding
is next week.
But I mean,
in 2 weeks,
we meet. What time is Lee's wedding?
Well,
that's a little bit. Yeah. 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 Yeah